Chapter 21. Our future in the stars. So the gods will depart from mankind, a grievous thing, and only evil angels will remain, who will mingle with men, and drive the poor wretches by main force, into all manner of reckless crime, into wars, and robberies, and frauds, and all things hostile to the nature of the soul. Darkness will be preferred to light, and death will be thought more profitable than life. The pious will be deemed insane, and the impious wise. The madman will be thought a brave man, and the wicked will be esteemed as good. Hermes Trismegistus, AD 150-270. A great change will come to pass, such as no mortal man will have expected. Heaven and hell will confront each other in this struggle. Old states will perish and light and darkness will be pitted against each other with swords, but it will be swords of a different fashion. With these swords it will be possible to cut up the skies and to split the earth. A great lament will come over all mankind and only a small batch will survive the tempest, the pestilence, and the horror. Pastor Bartholomaeus, 1638. When the earth is utterly exhausted, as it is soon to be, the progeny of the Atlantean sorcerers will again seek transplantation elsewhere. Each world to which they attach is always in spiritual or intellectual infancy, a necessary condition to prevent discovery and facilitate concealment. If they can find a way of breaking through the Stargate, they will vacate Earth in their arcs, taking some of us with them for seeding their new home planets with more slaves. If the reader cannot feel for the Earth, or even for humanity, perhaps they can feel for their own particular ancestors, their own lineage, those grandfathers and grandmothers who sweated and perished like animals in the fields and factories, in battles and wars, from poverty and disease, and who in their agonies looked up to the Creator asking why, and lest one should forget the utter tyranny that our ancestors knew and endured, here are the words of Plantagenet King Richard II, who after the peasants' revolt of 1381, admonished his underlings thusly: God omnipotent is mustering in his clouds on our behalf armies of pestilence, and they shall strike your children yet unborn and unbegot, that lift your vessel hands against my head and threat the glory of my precious crown. You wretches, detestable on land or sea, you will seek equality with lords and are unworthy to live. Give this message to your colleagues: rustics you were and rustics you are still. You will remain in bondage, not as before, but incomparably harsher. For as long as we live we will strive to suppress you, and your misery will be an example for posterity. However, we will spare your lives if you remain faithful. Choose now which course you want to follow. The terminology of the king is fascinating in regards to this present thesis, but to this kind of mentality, we reply with the exhortation of one of the greatest humanitarians this planet has ever known, Percy Bysshe Shelley: rise up like lions after slumber, in unvanquishable number, shake your chains to earth like dew, which in your sleep had fallen on you. Ye are many and they are few. Why, we muse, would such an embodiment of gentility and love say, that freedom comes to man when, in his own words, the last monarch is strangled with the guts of the last priest? Why, because, unlike so many, he was in no doubt at all about the legacy of terror and crime which has been perpetrated by the enemies of all humanity. He had not forgotten the plight of his forefathers, or of yours, nor was he blind to the atrocities of his own times. Our forefathers have fought the good fight in ages now forgotten and laid down their lives and liberties to eradicate the enemy. They have endured terrestrial paroxysms of unimaginable proportions, famines, plagues, massacres, and inquisitions, imposed upon them by tyrants. Each and every event is etched in the racial memories, in the DNA, of every person living today. Nothing can be brought to an end in the unconscious, nothing is past or forgotten. Sigmund Freud: we are still victims of tyrants and of the tyranny of our own ignorance and complicity. We are engaged in bloody Armageddon, but are mostly unconscious of who the enemy is, what weapons they are using, and what it is that they are after. Some question why things are so bad, why the good seem so helpless, and why they seem to end in early graves. The answer to this and to our overall predicament can be provided by anyone conversant with the principles of the game of chess. A chess master will give his student audience 4 pieces of advice from which we can learn. He will say that the first thing that is needed is a sense of patience. He will say next that a sense of timing is essential. Then comes one's knowledge of the opponent, and finally, the clincher, the willingness to make any and all sacrifices to win. Now, can we see why we have the problems we do? The good have no patience, no sense of timing, zero knowledge of the opponent, and because of their inherent morality, are not able to make the necessary sacrifices. Compare this to the enemy. They have endless patience, with strategies lasting millennia. They have an excellent sense of timing, moving in gradual stages while planning a long way ahead. They have intense knowledge of us, and most importantly, they are not the least bit hesitant to make any and all sacrifices that are needed. In fact, that is exactly what they have been doing. Man is born free, yet everywhere he is in chains. J.J. Russo. Once the galactic gate is opened, the planet Earth and its inhabitants are utterly doomed. These aliens have no love for us, no care for their host planet, and will in all likelihood incinerate the entire place and all of humanity, by way of harm microwave technology now mounted on satellites. They may also use chemical weapons which will leave not a person or creature standing. With all the efforts into remote viewing, nanotechnology, virtual reality, subatomic manipulation, microwaves, silicon, genetic foods, cloning, chemical and germ warfare, cybernetics, vaccines, designer diseases, and the World Wide Web, a bleak picture presents itself. Our scientific power has outrun our spiritual power. We have guided missiles and misguided men. Martin Luther King, Jr. The combined military expenditures of all the world's governments in 1987 were so large that all of the social programs of the United Nations could be financed for 300 years by this expenditure. William H. Koch, The Final Empire. The benefit to ordinary man of all this expenditure in industry is virtually non-existent except on the usual utilitarian level. If one is interested to know how the existential dynamics or metaphysical constitution of any agency comes to ruin, merely observe how much of what is naturally and inherently good and normal is lost to it forever. Then observe the manner in which it is removed. Identify the cause or culprits and then, if the desire exists, do something about it, without hesitation, weakness, or fear and whether others help or not. All that is good has been and still is being systematically removed from our inner and outer environments. For just as a virus penetrates the living cell, so have these alien beings penetrated our planet long ago. It may be a short time before we, the host, are utterly destroyed and before those who cause our sorry end spread their wings and rise heavenward once again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12.